There's a scripture in Luke, where is it, 24th chapter of Luke, when the disciples were, there were two disciples right after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and they were going to Emmaus, and Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. And you can read the whole thing for yourself, but in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that came that same day in a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talk together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself, hallelujah, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Is that wonderful? You cannot track Jesus Christ where two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm in the midst. And here was two disciples going home, but they were talking. The subject was Jesus, the crucifixion. Oh, they believe that he was the Son of God, the deliverer. They're talking about the scriptures. And then Jesus draw nigh. And if you want Jesus to come to your house, draw nigh, you start talking about him. When you begin to speak about the word of God, he's going to come. Jesus Christ is attracted by the word. So in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. It's powerful because unless he open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, you'll never be able to see. Okay, now that takes teaching, takes an understanding, takes a church that knows, that understand the word of God to begin to put words in your minds, in our hearts, that we will begin to see. So they were talking, notice that they were going home. They were talking about Jesus, but their eyes were closed. They could not see. They were spiritually blind in many areas of their lives, so they couldn't understand. But is it verse 17? And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to that you have one to another? As he walked, and you're so sad. And he said unto them, whose name, and he said unto them, unto the one, and he said, what verse? 18. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you just arrived? And has not known the news that it's what happened over the few days has been in every newspaper, every headline. See, you don't know that? Don't you watch the news? Don't you know what's going on? The uproar and the confusion that's going on. Some said one thing and some is saying the other thing, but said you're behind. You don't know what's going on. Said he says, they said that, are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what thing? What thing? You don't know all of the gossips and all of the confusions, and everybody's all excited, and look how calm Jesus is. What thing? I mean, he's just been crucified. And it was about him, but how calm the peace that he had. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And now, and how the chief priests and our rulers have delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Boy, they were in really in a sad state. They were sad. And they were going home. That was the end. They were discouraged. Jesus had died. But verse 22 said, yea, and certain women also, look at that, also of her company made us astonish, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of things of the angels, which said that he was alive. I mean, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart. You can be so slow that you don't get it. You can be in the church for years and you don't get it. You can go and know all of the news and all of the happening in Christianity, but you still don't get it. Your heart is closed. Your mind is closed. Your understanding is closed. You can hear it, but you still don't hear it. And he then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It's taking you so long. See, you need to pray that we need to pray, and the churches need to pray that God will make us of quick understanding. Amen. God will touch our hearts, touch our mind. And we will hasten to understand the word of God. And not so slow where it misses us. We don't understand. Our eyes are closed. And if your eyes are closed, your heart will be slow. You've got to get the eyes of your understanding open. And ask God for quick understanding. And ask God for the tongue of the learned. And to make your tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Amen. The churches are slow. We 2,000 years, the gospel. And we're so slow. We don't understand the visions, the scriptures, the words of the prophets. So Jesus said that they were slow of hearts. Ought not Christ, notice, he's giving them a powerful lesson. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Notice, he's to suffer these things. And but then after the suffering, he is to enter into his glory. I want to let you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you might be suffering right now, but our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on those things which are not seen. Because if you understand that there is an inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven, that's undefiled, and that's faded not away. If you could understand that glory, the scripture said that, oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. But where he is today? Where is Jesus today? Where did Stephen saw the Son of God? He endured the cross, and now he sat down at the right hand of God.
Hallelujah.
Waiting. Hallelujah. He's making intercession, and he's also waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. And he's coming back to rule and reign on the earth, because Acts chapter, is it 17?
Yes.
Tells us that he's coming back. That God has appointed a day, what chapter? 31? 17 verse 31. God has appointed a day. Because he, God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men. What is the assurance? What is the assurance? If Christ be not risen from the dead, or preaching is vain, everything that we say is vain. But he has given assurance in that he has raised him from the dead, never to die anymore. Said, I'm he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Okay, so it says, because he had appointed, is that where it was? In the yes, the scripture that Luke, go back to Luke, where Luke 24 chapter, where, what verse was I? 27 says that that, and he opened the scriptures. But where did he begin? Beginning at Moses, the law, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. Hallelujah. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. See, that's what, these are high openers. This will get to your heart. And God wants churches tonight that will begin at Moses and expound Christ. In all the scriptures. Everywhere you turn the scripture, it's Jesus. You're not looking for silver and gold. Like Peter says, silver and gold I have none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what? Rise up and walk. Get up. See, we don't have to take thought what we are going to eat or put on our soul. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father cares.
Yeah.
See, God loves us.
Amen.
And if we can get to the place when we open our mouth, is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we go to bed, whatever we do, it's Jesus expounding the word.
Yeah.
That, I like that verse.
Yeah.
I like that word. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, everybody say it with me, expounded unto them. In all. Old Testament, notice, began at Moses. And there was no New Testament at that time, but he was the New Testament. And what was he doing? Teaching them how to sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Expounding to them. all the scriptures concerning, notice who? Concerning himself. And next verse. And they drew nigh, what? And they drew nigh unto the village
whither
they went. They went to the village, and he made as he would have gone further. But they constrained him. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't going to come in your heart, and he's not going to do nothing for you unless you ask him. You have to constrain him. Jesus only go where he's loved. He only go where he's wanted. When you begin to hold on to Jesus, like that woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years that the doctors could not do anything. And what did she do? She pressed towards Jesus. And she didn't worry about the crowds, but she pressed. She had a need. And she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. I would be healed. If you begin to press your way, you've got to press past the thoughts of unbelief. You've got to get past that hardened, wicked heart of hers. You've got to get past the works of the flesh. You've got to get past the devil and the world. And if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. You've got to ask him, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. They constrained him, saying, come on, shout. Come on, shout. Abide with us. Jesus, please stay with us. You've got to ask him to stay in your church. You've got to ask him to stay in your home. You've got to ask him to stay in your life, in your business, everything you're doing. You've got to constrain Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And they constrained him, saying, oh Lord, abide with us. Don't leave us, Lord. Don't just visit us every once in a while. But we want you to dwell with us. Yes. We want you to stay with us. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise and they said, abide with us. For it is towards the evening. And the day is far spent. I want to tell you. We are at the evening time, the close of this age. The world is coming. The age is coming to an end. And we need no better friend than Jesus. Not to just visit the church every once in a while, but we need him all the time. We need Jesus every day. Abide with us. But you've got to constrain him. He's got to see that you want him. He's got to see that you love him. More than anything else, we want to see Jesus. And the evening is far spent. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Notice what he did. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Hallelujah. You see, they had a relationship with God. They had a relationship with Jesus. He did something before he died. And they remember that nobody could ever break bread like Jesus. Never a man spake like this one. You've got to remember that he is the Word of God. You've got to remember that he's the bright and the shining light. You have to remember that he's the healer of the body and the soul and of the mind. If you can only remember that nobody can do that like Jesus. You have to remember that experience once when you were sick. when you were down and you had no friend, and how he came and broke bread with you. And if you can remember what he done for you when you were lost, when you were in sin, when you were in the world, when the devil was on your back, and how he came and rescued you and lift you up and brought you out of the mire and out of the clay, and he set your feet upon a rock. Nobody does it like Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody can do you like Jesus Christ. How he brought healing, and he poured in the oil, and he poured in the wine. You've got to remember that. Can you remember that? Huh? Like this, the man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You remember that scripture? And how he was attacked, and he was beaten and robbed. But there was a priest that passed by. But they were on the other side. The priests under the law could not help him. Luke chapter 10. The priest could not help him, right? He was wounded. And there came a priest. But what happened? He passed by. And when he saw the wounded man, he passed by on the other side. You've got to understand now that under the Old Testament, the priests could not help. They could not forgive sins. They could not bind up broken hearts. They could not set the captives free. And here was a man that was wounded. And now, haven't we been wounded in the fall? Didn't Adam, our first father, was he not wounded in the fall? When he was wounded in the garden, and all of the sacrifice of bullocks and blood could not help him. And the priests passed on the other side. And likewise there was a Levi. When he was at the place, came and he looked at him. Look at it. Look, but he passed by on the other side. Under the law, you had the priests and you had the Levites. Yeah. Then the Levitical priesthood came, but it couldn't heal us. No. It couldn't take away sin. No. It could not restore us from the fall. Yeah. And they could only look at us. Amen. They could only look on the fallen race. Yeah. They could only look on the Israelites in the wilderness. Yeah. With all of the sacrifice, the washing, all of that could not cleanse or restore or even bring the favor of God. Yes. They pass on the other side. Yes. The law could not do it. No. The law could not bring us that hope and deliverance and make us perfect and restore us like we were before the fall. Yes. It passes by on the other side until, come on, until, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed from heaven, he came from heaven. He who was rich became poor. He was a son of God, but he took on human nature. He came from the heaven, from the glory world. Come on, what the priests could not do, what the Levites could not do, what the law could not do, this certain Samaritan came down. And what did he do? He came down with the oil, with the balm of Gilead. Come on. He came down with a balm. He came down, as Jeremiah said, when the priests and the Levites, is there no balm in Gilead? Hey, why then is not the health of the daughters of Jerusalem healed? Because the priests and the Levites could not do. But here was Jesus with the healing balm of Gilead. The one medicine that could heal the sickness and the disease. That only one blood. That only one anointing. That only one word That only one bread of life. Hallelujah. He came down and he did not pass on the other side. But he went to where the problem was. He went to the very root of the fall. And what did he do? And when he saw the fall of man, when he saw how deep in sin we were, how wounded we were by the devil, he had compassion on us. And he came in Psalms 40, sacrifices and offering. Thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Then said I, lo, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Just like how the apostles, Peter, those on the road to Emmaus, how he opened up their eyes. Remember? Their eyes were closing. But when he took the bread and broke it and blessed it, their eyes were open up. What the law couldn't do, what the Levites couldn't do, what the priests could not do. Here was a good Samaritan, came down from heaven, and now he opened up her eyes and he poured in the oil. He poured in that oil, the balm of Gilead, and made the wounded whole. Hallelujah. We were wounded by sin. We were wounded by the fall. But now a Savior came to bind up our wounds and bind up brokenhearted and set the captive free. The priest couldn't do it. But the Samaritan came where we were. Jesus went where they were. Where the unbelief and they needed it. They were wounded. They saw him crucified. And they hoped that he would be the one that would have brought back health and life and healing and the restoration to Israel. But now he's dead. But brother, alive, when their eyes was open, they realized that he was still alive. Amen. They realized that he rose from the dead. And now he was breaking bread, the bread of life to give us. And the priests and the Levites could not do it. But this good Samaritan came where he was. Where he was, and he bound up his wound, and pouring the oil and the wine, and set him on, listen, on his own beast, and brought him to the church in. You remember how you were wounded? Come on, you remember how you were bruised? And you was out there all by yourself until God brought you to a church? My, God brought you to a church? And now what happened? You're not the same today, but your wounds are being healed because you found the answer. You found a church. Everybody needs a church. They found a church. He brought them to the inn. And he said to the innkeeper, whatsoever you spend, what did he say? Whatever you spend more, I will repay thee. Don't worry if you don't get paid right now. Your reward is coming. He's coming back. When I return at the second advent, he said, I'll repay you. So you work, labor, and whether you get natural things, keep working. Because great will be your reward in heaven. So he left the man, the wounded man, where?
In the inn.
In the inn. The church. That's why you're here tonight. Because you've been wounded. You've been tremendously wounded. But look at you here tonight. And what are we doing? We're changing your bandages. You remember Jesus bound it up? But now we, the minister, has got to bind up and continue the dressing, changing the dressing, dealing with your spirits. Come on now. Make sure that the word of God get down there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So back to Luke 24 says, verse 30 says, 31, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said, listen to this. One to another. Somebody shout this. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Let me tell you something. Nobody can have this experience for you. You have to have it for yourself. How are you going to know that it's Jesus? It's when your heart begins to burn. And you begin to feel the fire burning. And the wheels are turning inside of you. And you're not the same. You don't feel to go and do the same thing that you used to do. But you want to go to your Bible. You'd like to go to a closet. You want to spend some time with Jesus. You want to go back to the hymn. Hallelujah. Are you with me now tonight? See, you feel that fire. When Jesus begins to speak to you, it's going to affect your heart. Come on, he comes to do heart surgery. He's going to cut away what the Levites couldn't do. He's going to cut away what the priests couldn't do. And what is he going to do? Pour in the oil and the wine. And he's going to heal you. And he came to bind up broken hearted. And he was anointed to set the captives free. Because he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. He came to roll away the stones. He came to take away the stones. That stony, hard heart that you have, that nothing can touch. He came to break through and to deliver you. Jesus Christ can set you free tonight. Tonight you can feel the power of Almighty God. You never raise your hands. You don't know what it is to praise him. You don't know what it is to get the life of God. Tonight you can get that life of God in your soul and in your spirit, and you will never be the same. We've got to get that wound that Adam received, that we receive in the fall. We have to get the healing. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he, notice, talked with us by the way. And while he opened up, open, notice what he does. Bear in mind, he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up. Look, listen. They had gone home. Are you listening now? They had gone home. They were ready to settle down for the night. That's why. They had no intention to go. They just came from a long walk. But I want to tell you something. When that fire get in your bones, you just came home from work. You're gone home. You have no intention to go to church. You have no intention because you just got home. And your flesh say, have supper. Go to bed. Relax in your favorite chair. But, when you invite Jesus in at your table, and when he begins to break bread with you, and you begin to feel the fire, notice, they just came from, was it Jerusalem? But they went, it says that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found 11 together and them that were with them. Notice that they weren't going to be at church that night. They put up their sword and they was not going to fight no battle. They were going home complaining and discouraged and they were cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. But the fire came. Their hearts began to burn. They had a revelation. And they turn right back and go back all the way rejoicing. Did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us? By the way, when he began to work and burn your heart, I know you wasn't going to tell it anymore. But brother, you can't hold back.
The Lord is risen.
Saying the Lord is risen indeed. And it appeared unto Simon. You have a message. And they told what things were done in the way. And how he was known of them. How? How? Come on now. Look at me in breaking of bread. What are we doing tonight? We're breaking the bread of life. We're breaking the word of God. And that's how you know him. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Preaching Christ. Revealing Jesus. So that you can know him like Paul. Oh, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. If you can only know him. How? By the word. Someone has got to break the word of God to your starving soul. And you will be happy. You'll never be the same. Amen. And as they thus spake, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus is all over the place. He said, I'll never leave you. I mean, he followed them from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus, sat at the table, revealed himself to them, disappeared, and now he's back. And as they were speaking, my God, how tonight, as I stand there speaking, oh, I would like to see Jesus appear to your heart. I'd like to see Jesus appear to your soul and touch you. He's not far from any one of us. But you've got to reach out and cry out to him. And I, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood. Where? I'm in the midst. And when he's in the midst, what does he do? What does he do? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with singing. He said, he said the Lord was in the midst of them and said unto them, peace. Are you listening now? Peace be unto you. And but they were afraid, they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts? Watch that. Thoughts arise in your heart. That's a problem. Thoughts. All kind of thoughts. What are the thoughts in your heart? Why are you troubled? Why are the thoughts in your heart? Come on. If you let Jesus in, he will take those thoughts away. And he will put the word in. And behold, look at it. Here's the evidence. Here is the proof of your deliverance. Look. You remember I was hanging at the cross for you. Here is the proof of your victory. Said, behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Come on. Handle me. And see. And tonight, wait. And tonight we're handling him. Have you ever handled Genesis? Have you ever handled the Christ of Exodus? Amen. Have you ever handled Jesus of Leviticus? Amen. And Numbers? Yeah. Have you ever handled the Jesus of Isaiah?
Come on.
And Matthew? Yeah. And Mark? Yeah. And Luke? Yeah. And John? Yeah. Have you ever handled him? Yeah. Have you ever get a hold of his hands and put your fingers in the wounds? Yeah. Have you ever begin to handle the word of God? Yeah. He said, handle me. Turn, search the scriptures. Go from one chapter to the other. From one book to the other. Are you listening? Go and search for the oil and the wine. Go and search for the bread. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were, they yet believed not. Notice this one. For joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open. My, hallelujah. Here we are now. Come on. Something has got to happen to you. Something has got to deal with you. They not just don't read it. But it said, then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. That's what you need. You've got to let God open your mind, open your understanding, so you can see the scriptures. Somebody said, but I read it, but you don't see it. Because you don't see the scripture only with your natural eyes. It's with the eyes of your understanding, the inner man, that new man. The hidden man of the heart. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to have suffered and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. That's the Holy Ghost. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Is that good? And were continually. See that word continually? Not when they feel like going to church. Not when they feel like continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were there. Now in closing, let's go to Jeremiah. That's the scripture Sister Anita used. Chapter 3 verse 15. Quickly. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. What does it say? And I will give you pastors. Jeremiah 3 and verse 15 says, and I will give you pastors. I will give you pastors. Come on. Pastors, a ministry according to my heart. Which shall feed you with what? Knowledge. Knowledge of the word of God and understanding. That's what you need. Okay? Pastors that can give you knowledge according to God's heart. And you remember the scripture speaks about David was a man after God's own heart? Had a heart like God. There's something that affects you. See, God is changing us. And when David prayed, create in me a clean heart, he was asking for a heart like God. When And God will continue. And God said, I will give you that heart. I will give you that heart, a clean heart, a new heart. A heart after God, not the one you have to just to repair it, but to give you a brand new heart. In other words, a new nature. Like the mind, like the nature of God, a divine nature. So Peter says, whereby, 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and promise and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature of God. That's the God nature. Before you die, you've got to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. So he gives you a pastor who can open your understanding to the divine nature of God, so that you will be born of the Spirit of God, born from above. He gives you pastors that can bind up your wounds, take care of you in the in church. Come on, change your bandages while he's away, to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. So when you get on your feet, you know that you know that he's alive. You know that he's Jesus Christ. He'll give you pastors that will help you and hasten you on to the kingdom of God. And he said, I'll give you pastors according to mine own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And we'll get back to that scripture, but in Acts, the closing. In Acts 13, verse 22 says,
and when he had removed him, he raised up.
And he was giving you an history of the kings.
Yes.
And he spoke about what King Saul. He gave King Saul for 40 years. But when he had removed him,
by the space of
40 years, And when
verse 22.
Acts 13, 22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, hallelujah, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Look what David did. Look what David did. The words he wrote. The songs he sung. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then he goes on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right? He raised up David to fulfill his will. Look how David, although he was knocked down, in Psalms 51, what was he crying out? He said, Lord, the reason why I sin, I know why I'm sinning, is because I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I still have the old nature of the fall of the first Adam. But Lord, if you would do a work in me, and you would take away this whole heart, this whole nature, and create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said, what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach transgressors your ways. I'm going to show men and women how to get the new nature of God. How to overcome the devil. How to rise up out of the fall. If you ever do that for me. And guess what? God said, I will. God said, I will. I will cleanse you. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And remove all the sin. Praise God. And Psalm 73, verse 1, he said, I'll give you a clean heart. And that's what God's working on right now. God is working on the church. Revelations 1, unto him, verse 6, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God. See, God is in our midst tonight. And we thank God for the words this weekend. Thank God for what he has done for us this weekend. I said we ought to lift up our hands and praise God and shout and rejoice and cry out tonight, create in me a clean heart, oh God. And Jesus said in Matthew, the Beatitudes, that one of these days we will get into a series, if God give us strength and time, into a series of that, are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're not finished yet, because it's the pure in heart, okay, that will see God. And Revelation tells us, and he will make us sons and daughters, and we will see his face. We want to see the face of God. And we can only see the face of God through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory.